Good. Okay, hi. This is my day job at the moment. I'm working with the UNHCR Media Library project. So I'm going to talk about how we set up our metadata schema for this. So just a bit about UNHCR. It's the UN Refugee Agency, and obviously at the moment the work that we're doing is very much in the public eye. So established in 1950 to safeguard the rights of refugees and other displaced and stateless people. So it's a huge organisation, global, 9,300 people in 123 countries. So the brief that we had was to make the images that UNHCR has accessible to all the UNHCR staff and to the press. Obviously, in terms of picture libraries, it's not a huge throughput, but there's been an awful lot of manual work up till now. So we wanted to speed up the production and allow other things to be done better, like the quality of the data, the quality of the pictures, and the distribution. We've also got at least 100,000, probably an awful lot more, images going right back to the 50s. They also need to improve the search, because clearly in a library like this, if you put in a search for refugee, you're going to find all the images. So the development team on this project is Scott Goddard is the project leader. He's also a videographer, started as a videographer in the field. There's myself, and as you can see, I'm slightly cut off, but anyway, yeah, I started as a photographer. So, and these things are quite important in the work that we're doing, that we do know what it's like to actually do the job. And the team at Orange Logic, which is the software we're using. So the way we started, which is absolutely wonderful, was with a blank sheet of paper, because they had no digital asset management system. And I always just whoop with joy when I see that, because it means we can do it right. So it was an offline system, and people had to come to the photo library and ask for images. So they spent a lot of their time doing requests. The photographers were luckily quite used to sending IPTC data to a specification. So that was there already, and that's quite important to have that already. Our requirement was to cover photo, video, and we decided to be completely cross-media to include the opportunity to add text, documents, and audio and other things at a later date. Scott, who's leading the project, I mean, this was, for me, was a wonderful thing to have someone come to me and say, you're the person I want to work with because you understand IPTC. I said, where did you come from? I mean, he's quite young, he's been in the business, but he really understands the need for standards when you're setting off on a system like this. We also, both of us, I mean, he works full-time. I've been working full-time for the last 6 months. There's another at least 3 months, probably more, to go. So they have really put resource into getting this right, and that's quite important. So when we started off the project, we had to ask ourselves a number of questions. What fields do we need? How much data can we expect to get from photographers, and how good will that be? In which fields? Which of our fields are going to be cross-media? And this is the exciting thing about this project. It's the first one I've done which is truly cross-media. How and where will the data be viewed? So always taking, right from the beginning, the viewpoint of the customer rather than the viewpoint of the librarian, if you like. And what's the function of the IPTC fields in this workflow that we're going to set up? So the principles, the really important principle, which I'm always banging on about, is granular data. Because as you can see from the sugar lumps, you can make a bigger lump out of the smaller granules. But if it was solid lumps, you can't go the other way. So we wanted our data to be absolutely as granular as it can be. We had a cross-media approach. We wanted to consider the data as it is going to be used and displayed, not just as a cataloguing tool, but as a used tool by users. We wanted to use IPTC fields where at all possible, and we needed to improve the search capability. So this is how I start off on these projects. I set up huge, I mean, this, a huge data sheet. And on it, basically, it says version 16C. You can see that this, you know, you set up a data sheet with the fields you think you're going to use, and over a period of time, it gets changed and added to and subtracted from and messed around with. And I always keep the same sheet because there are so many things to think about, and it's always good to have it in one place. Eventually, it floats off, and you're dealing with just what's happening online. But this is how I keep track of all this stuff. And here are the things that we decide. And basically, it's a paper exercise to begin with. You then refine it when you get online. So you have to know which data fields do you want. So the IPTC ones, the extra specialist fields, as you'll see, there are some of those. What are the semantics? What are the field types? Where are we going to put value lists? Who's going to use the data? Which sector which fields are going to be used by photo, video, or documents? And very importantly, who's going to enter it? All that goes in on this sheet. It changes, but it goes. We start off with a sort of map. Where are the fields viewed? Are they viewed online? Are they viewed in the metadata of the photograph? Well, you'll see later some examples of that. How is the data going to be mapped in from IPTC fields, and how is it going to be mapped out again to IPTC fields? And what kind of search are we going to apply to each field? So which fields are going to be quick searchable, and which of them are going to be in the advanced? And that's all on this data sheet. So this is the schema we came up with. And what we found, I think we had about 50-something fields, and 30 of them we were able to use commonly across all media. So the ones in blue are more or less the sort of the ID fields. The ones in orange are more to do with the image itself, the data to do with the image, description of the image. The green ones are the sort of technical data, and then you have some of the rights data down at the bottom. Now, these we've applied across video, photo, text, everything. And there was only one photo-only field, and this was the photographer. Now, of course, you can make a creator field for photo and video, but we thought long and hard about this and ended up dividing it up mainly because there are so many creators for video that we couldn't really make it work together. So on the video only section, we've got quite a lot of fields, new fields here. And as you can see, there's videographer, editor, producer. And when you start having in a database, you start trying to do multiple fields for the same. It depends on the database you're working with. But here we found that it was easier to split them up, even though we know in the future the photographer and the videographer are going to end up being the same person. But in a practical sense, this is what we came up with. So, I mean, it sounds, you know, when you say to someone we've got 60 fields or 50-something fields, it sounds dreadful. But when you actually get down to the practical data entry, it's not as bad as that, not at all. Because what we've actually got, I mean, this is the photo data entry field. As you can see over on the left, I don't know if you can see it, we have we've got the description. We've got a source description. So the description that the photographer enters is there. We then copy and paste it into the description and edit it. So you've still got the photographer data. We've split out the background information. At that point, we split out the background information from the sort of the strict caption to the picture. And you'll see in a minute why we do all these things. A lot of the data comes in from the photographer already. So quite a lot of it is also driven by control vocabularies. So the city, country, and so on data is all driven by control vocabulary, as are some of the copyright and rights usage fields as well. The video data entry screen looks very similar. It's not exactly the same, but we have quite a lot of very similar fields to photo, but obviously there are some differences. But the basic data is very much the same. It's when you get onto the technical side that things are different. So just to show you actually how, why, what we were thinking about when we created this. Under the thumbnails, we wanted to see, firstly, we needed the date, very importantly, but we wanted to see the country, and we want, if you do a search, you want to know, you can see that it's a girl and a boy in a building. But what we wanted to put under there was, what do you not know? What we don't know is that that's the aftermath of the earthquake in Nepal. So if you were to, let's say you were to put in a search for, you know, girl with child, you'd have a lot of images in a lot of different countries, a lot of different situations. So what we're putting under there is the context. We spent quite a lot of time looking at other systems, and one of the things that always has struck me is that the data underneath the thumbnails is quite often the beginning of a caption and is quite messy, and we've now done it so that we've actually created this data for this purpose and for another reason as well, as you'll see. So this is the mouse over on the thumbnail, so you can see the headline and then you've got the actual caption to the picture. So the idea is it's to help the user to see exactly what they're looking at very quickly. When you get to the preview to the image, as you can see, we've separated out all the country, photographer, credit line, and we've got the headline there in bold, so that when you look at that, you can immediately see what you're looking at. You've got the caption, and then you've got the background information. And that we're keeping the same for photo and video. That basic headline and the headline information and background. When it gets to video, you've got the same headline, but what they then have is something a little different from the caption. It's the shot list. So this scrolls on the side for the video side, and you've got the whole entire shot list there on the preview. So the question of who does what, who enters what data. Photographers upload images with specified IPTC fields filled in. We, in the office, the description and background data are edited, reviewed and edited, and data checked. We also have kept the incoming IPTC data on our data screen. We can actually access... We've kept the original imported IPTC. We just click a button and we can see all the fields that have been imported. So we always have very ready access to that raw data that's come in from the photographer. And that's quite important, can be quite important. We've had a lot of cases where dates haven't matched up and we've had to go back to the original data to see what's going on here, why doesn't the date match with the EXIF, where was the mistake made, and so on. Where possible, and for less experienced photographers, we're using a script where the photographer just enters their name and the country, and the script does quite a lot of the work in entering the country code and so on before it gets to the office. And we use value lists also to help make things fast and to keep the data correct. So the country name is always going to be from a controlled list. Some of the issues that have come up in the process of working with the data, and this must happen to a lot of people, what happens is that people write text in Word and then they put it either into IPTC or they put it into a database, and this comes up in all the work I do with all databases and all companies, is that we end up dealing with this dreadful business of formatting and non-standard characters. The non-standard characters end up being... They end up being substituted in some software, not in all software, but you can't even afford to have, even if you're using software that doesn't do substitution and does use UTF-8, you cannot afford to have those characters in there, because it may then go off to a news agency whose database does not deal with it, and then you get percentages and all sorts of horrible data. And I spend half my life dealing with this horrible data when people transfer data from one database to another. So we're having to stop the photographers and the editors and everyone else from writing things in formatted form. And that's actually, but you know, I mean, that this is what they're used to doing. So we're telling them, you know, you've got to strip, you've got to find a way of, we've showing them how to do it so that you don't have that problem. Also, you know, we're up until now, as in most organisations, video department and photo department have been working separately. The whole point of this project is to try and take a completely cross-media view and to have, for example, things like the background information created in a centralised point so that it's common to photo and video and we're all talking about the same thing. And in fact, the fact that we've set up the data schema the way we have has actually encouraged organisational change. So it's all working in the same direction. It's really, really pleasing to see that now, because we've organised it like this, that people are now saying, well, we have to have one person who does certain bits of data for all departments. On the keywording side, I mean, this is another enormous topic, which I'm not going to go into very far. We have my company, I work with Lisa who has created a thesaurus called KT Thesaurus, which is the only stock industry thesaurus we know that's actually able to be used by other people. So we use it for our customers because there isn't another one on the market. So what we've actually done is we've taken, there was a refugee thesaurus, we've taken a lot of very specific terms and merged them with our own thesaurus, and that was a sort of 3-month project for a few number of people, so that we have a stock industry style thesaurus with a specialist section to it, and that's about to be uploaded. We haven't started the keywording yet, but we're starting a keywording pilot, and what we know is that there's a sort of period of working out how the keywords work with the software and refining all that. But we know that the search is going to be much improved from this, because if you do a search only on the caption data, as we've seen from the last presentation, you get many, many too many options and results from it. We also have a lot of filters in our software. So that we're going to be able to search on facets of the keywords. So what did we learn from this project so far? I mean, we're still in the middle of it. It's only just launched. The first thing, actually, that we learned was that the minute you get it up, people are used to going and asking for pictures, and the minute they know they can get their own, that suddenly you've got another tsunami coming towards you, which is all the people who say, I now want to sign up, I want to use it, give it to me. It has taken a lot of time and effort. It's amazing how much time it has taken to get this right, but it's going to be completely worth it. The photographers, you know, people often think, well, photographers, they don't like data, they won't put data in, but I have to say, I mean, our photographers are very committed, but the biggest thing for them is when I talk to them, I take them through the process, but the first thing I do is I show them what their images now look like and what their data looks like online. And because it's been so custom-made for what we're doing, they find it very pleasing, it's very good. And so they're very keen to learn how to do the data properly. And that's been very, very, very nice to see. More and more people are using the site, and it's still an ongoing project. So there'll be, you know, if you talk to me in a year's time, we'll have some stats, but we've literally just launched. So that's it. Thank you very much.